Before I start the subject, Be'ezer Hashem, that I wanted to speak about this evening, I came across Piskei Minhagim, Piskei Halachim Minhagim, from the Tzam Sofer on Hanukkah, and I want to share with you the very first thing that is mentioned, relating to what I said. At the advent of Hanukkah several days ago, now we're there at the middle of Hanukkah, I think it's important for us to be machazik ourselves once more. I'll translate just, of course, for emphasis. He's here, Mehis Ames Belimu Toira B'Hanukkah, Yoiser Mebishar Yomi. He was mazer the Talmidim in the yeshiva to be more makbid in Limu Toira during Hanukkah than any other days. Hikpid miyod was very makbid al mashe mevalim yomim elu behevle schot. Looks like the Yetzer Hara of Hanukkah, the special Hanukkah Yetzer Hara, is not a new invention, but we had it in the yeshivas of the Ksam Sofer as well, and he was very makbid of people during Hanukkah rationalizing and wasting away the time with nonsense and foolishness. Omar she'atzas ha'yetzer hi li'afriya es ha'om mi'avodas Hashem mi'talmud Torah. B'mei Hanukkah is a special yetzer hara that seeks to take us away from Torah during the days of Hanukkah. Asher tiknu chazal lo'hodos u'lahalel. That the whole kviyas of Hanukkah, Mirz Hashem, which we'll talk about, we find in Chazal was dafka lo'hodos u'lahalel Hashem. That's why he said there's a special yetzer hara to try to take B'nai Yeshiva away, particularly from Limud HaTorah. And then he mentions a special skula for learning Torah during Hanukkah. Limud Inyan Godol B'yomim Eilu, Ki Oz Nimsuru Soides HaTorah L'Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. So he mentions an interesting chidush, that the Sisrei Torah, the Divrei Kabbalah, were given over to Moshe Rabbeinu by a Kodesh Baruch Hu during the days of Hanukkah, during this period of the year. That is a special skula in learning Torah, particularly now. We have been speaking these past few weeks about tefillah. And it's about that I wanted to continue speaking about this evening, particularly during the week of Hanukkah. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph, which asks, "My Hanukkah?" And Rashi says, "Al eiza nes kovua," because of what nes were the Chazal, the Kovea, the Yontav of Hanukkah. So the Gemara concludes, "Mishono acheres, kovum viosum yomim toivim, Bahalel ubehodah," that the yomim, that the days of Hanukkah were made a yontif as far as halel in hodah is concerned. So Rashi says, "Osum yomim toivim bahalel ubehodah, lo shasurim b'malacha, not osur b'malacha, shemo nikvu elo nikros halel, v'lomer amanisim b'hodah." That's what the Iker Theus of Hanukkah was, for Hallel and for Hodah. Why did the Chazal, why were they Koveya, the Yontas of Hanukkah, particularly for Hallel and for Hodah? I want to share with you relevant excerpt from the Bach, a well-known Bach in the beginning of Hilchos Hanukkah, where he contrasts Hanukkah to Purim. I just want to mention the part of the Bach that explains this Gemara in Shabbos, why the Chazal were Koveya Hanukkah dafker for Hallel and for Hodah. And they say, and the Bach says as follows, "Iker Abu Hanukkah, Iker Gzeira Hoyasa, Al Shehis Rashnu Biavoda." The Gzeira of Antiochus came as an oinish because Klal Yisrael was misrashel in the avoida, in the Beis HaMikdash. Misrashel, they were negligent. They related to it in a lackadaisical fashion. They were mezalzel in the avoda. They didn't take it seriously. And therefore the gzera was to take away from them the privilege of the avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. Kisanya bebraisa shegozer alehem levato hatomit. Then he goes on to say, I'm skipping a sentence or two in between. Kishechozru b'tshuva nimsor nafshom al havoda. What was their tshuva? When they went to war, they followed the lead of Matisyahu and his five sons, the Hashminoyim, and they went to be moiser nefesh just for the sake of their spiritual survival, to rescue Torah and mitzvahs by Klal Yisrael, not to protect themselves from extinction as in the time of Purim. But their tshuva was that they were moiser nefesh in order to be zoiche, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Torah and mitzvahs. When the Eberster saw their tshuva, Hoshio Moshem Ayidei Kohanim Ovdei HaAvodo Beveis Hashem. And therefore he says, Lefikach Lo Kovum Elo LaHamelu LaHodos Shehi Avodo Shebolei. So the Bach says that since the whole Avera of Hanukkah was because Klal Yisrael was Misrasho in the Avoda, and the Iker Avoda of Karbonis is also an Avoda Shebolev, but the Avoda of Karbonis, the Iker, is for a person who brings the Karbonos to recognize it as if he's bringing himself on the Mizbeah. He's giving his all to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Iker Avera was, they were Nisrashel be Avoda. When they did Tshuva to be Moiser Nefesh to restore the Avoda by Klal Yisrael, so therefore the Eberster saved them, and the Yom Tovim were nikva for Hallel in Lohodos, which is an Avodah Shebolev, so that they could do tshuva directly in the manner in which the Avera originally brought the Gzeira upon them. They were Nisrasho B'Avodah, so now we were given a new opportunity to be mechazek ourselves in the Avodah Shebolev of Hallel and of Tefillah. I want to add to this an interesting insight that Rabbi Aaron Zal makes regarding the Beis HaMikdash generally. And he points out from Psukim in Tanakh and Malachim Aleph that the Beis HaMikdash was not just a place for the Avodah of Korbanos, but the Beis HaMikdash was also Miyuchet. We find in Tanakh was Miyuchet for Tefillah, for the Avodah of Tefillah also. We know that today Neshama forms Fosenu, the Tefillah takes the place of Korbanos. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Tefillah was also part of the Avodah of Korbanos. It was part of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So I just want to share with you some interesting psukim here in Malachim Aleph Perek Ches. So he says, Shomato el Tchina, there's several psukim here, I'll just read this one. Shomato el Tchinas Avdecho V'Amcho Yisrael, I share ye spangalu el hamokom hazeh. You hear? The ato tishma el makom shiftecho el hashamayim v'shomato v'solachto. You should listen to the tefillahs of your Eved, the Amcho Yisrael, that they will be mispangled to you towards this place. And similarly, it says previously the same thing, that the Beis HaMikdash was a makom of tefillah, that's also part of the avoda. So when we read that they were misrashel mi'avoda, they were Misrashel from the Avodah of Korbanos. They were also Misrashel from the Avodah of Tefillah. It all goes together. And when they were Metameh, the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was defiled by the Greeks, they defiled not only the Mokom of Korbanos, they defiled the Mokom of Tefillah by Klal Yisrael. That's the Mokom for where all Tefillahs ascend heavenward, and the Mokom where Tefillahs for Klal Yisrael were recited daily by the Kohanim is part of their avoida. That's why I must tell you that when a bachur misses a minyan during Hanukkah, there's no time during the year that I feel as much aggravation and frustration is when a bocher misses a davening betzibur during Hanukkah. It hurts me so much. I'm don lechavshus, because they don't realize how inconsistent and immature the behavior is. The whole yontav of Hanukkah, is because Yidden were misrasho biavoda. The whole kfiyas of the yontav was a kfiyas for Torah shebalei, avoda shebalei. Now, how is it possible for a thinking person, for a thinking ben Torah, to miss a minyan during Hanukkah? I can more easily understand, as paradoxical as this may sound to you, I can more easily understand a person missing a minyan in Elul. More easily understand it than missing a minyan during Hanukkah. Because it's contradictory to the whole yontav of Hanukkah. Rav Aaron, in one of his Mamorim on Hanukkah, makes an interesting observation. It's a Dofer Poshet, but the Mesilas Yesharim says in his classic Hadomeh, probably the greatest understatement in all of Torah literature, that he's not telling us anything new in his Sefer. He says the Poshetic things are those that have to be repeated to us. So Rav Aaron points out that Lohodos u'Lahalel is not limited to Hanukkah. Rashi says we say Hallel, and we say Amanisi Mimodi. That's the pshat, Lahalel u'Lahodos. The Rav Aaron points out very simply, the truth of the matter is, he says, that three times a day when we stand up for Shmon Esrei, the first three brachas are also Hallel. They're brachas of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Hallel? Hallel is where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The every Shmona Esrei was so designed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that it starts out with three brachas of Hallel. Then you come to the last three brachas of the Shmona Esrei. The central and by far the largest bracha of them is Modi. That's Hodor. So Hallel, Mahallel u'Mahodos, is not a mitzvah reserved for these 8 days a year, but it's part of the Shmona Esrei that we're supposed to be mechazek ourselves in three times a day, every day of the year, not just the days of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, there's an added kiyum of the mitzvah of Mahalel u'Mahodos with Modim and with Hallel. But every day of the year, we have the normal kiyum mitzvahs of Mahalel u'Mahodos. And he mentions something very interesting. There's a common denominator, he points out. It's a beautiful insight. There's a common denominator between these two sections of the Shmon Esrei. The Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hodoya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He mentions a Gemara in Brachas. Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Ahu denochis kame de Rebbe Chanina, a fellow davened in the presence of Rebbe Chanina. Omar, hokeon hagodon hagibor vahanora, ho adir ho ozuz hayiroi, hachosek haamitz havada hanechbat. And he kept on with so many adjectives of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He didn't stop after Agodo Hagibor the Hanora. He didn't stop. Himtin lo adem esayim. He waited patiently till he finished his whole tzetel of adjectives of Hashem. And then he said to him rather sarcastically, in order to give him a hocha and to teach him, Omar alei siyamtinu lukule shifchei gemara. Did you finish all the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You made such a long list. Did you say everything that you could say about him, that he's worthy of having said about him? Siyamtinu l'kulei shifka d'morach, l'omeli kulei hai. What are you going on and just repeating different adjectives of his greatness? Anan, hani t'las d'amrino ni'lav d'amrino Moshe Rabbeinu b'yoraisa v'yosu anshik neses ha'dolo v'tignino b'tfila. These three adjectives that we say, Hagodol, Hayibor, Vahanora,
if not for Hashem permitting us and giving Moshe Rabbeinu Rishus to relate to him in this manner, and the Anshek Neses HaGdolah would not have given us this takon and the shlonet, we wouldn't even be able to say a godal hagibor v'hanorah. Moshe l'melah boser v'dom, hoyo lo elaf alofim dinori zov, a king had thousands and thousands of bricks of gold. V'hoyo makalsi nosho b'sho kesef. And people praised him, he's so rich, he has a few thousand silver coins. So it's an insult, hamo g'nai humo. The Eibishter is so far beyond our ability to comprehend. His greatness is so infinite. We couldn't describe him at all. Whatever we would say would be a bizoyon. As if we're limiting his greatness to the words that we are using to describe him. It so happens, the Anshek Neses HaGdolah permitted us to say these three words. Hagodol Gibor. If not, we couldn't say that either. It's an insult. So Reb Aaron points out that the first three brachas of the Shmon Esrei is a very special concession on the part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu to ourselves. That he permits us to praise him altogether. So he's moichel on his kovet. Whatever we say, there's a pchisas kovet. He's moichel on his kovet in order to help us appreciate how great he is and how dependent we are upon him. As Mirza Shem will talk about yet. Similarly, Reb Aaron refers to the nusach of the tefillah of Nishmas. It's one of the most beautiful tefillahs that we have in the Siddur. And if you remember, at one part it says, Ilu finu mole shiro kayom, shonenu rino kamon gamo, sifsosenu sheva kemerchave rokia, einenu meiros kashemesh, v'chayoreach, yodenu frusos kenishrei shamayim ragnenus kamo kayomos. If we had the infinite ability to praise a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Eina nachnu maspikin, lohodos locho Hashem elokeinu, ulevorech shemecho al achas me'olef elef alfei alofim ribei revovos pomim atovo shosisim avoseinu. If we had this infinite power, this infinite ability, we wouldn't be able to thank you for a minute fraction of the millions of toivas and chasodim for which we are indebted to you. So Reb Aaron points out beautifully that it's impossible for us to give thanksgiving to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We say the bracha modi manachnu lo. Those words are so poor, with so impoverished, to express a fraction of the hakoras atov that we owe the Eibishter, that he even notices that we're here, one among 5 billion people on the face of the earth, and he keeps us living and healthy. We couldn't begin to praise him, to thank him, rather, for a minute fraction of all of his chasodim and toivos. So he says that lahalel lahodos, to be meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to give hodoya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a special act of chesed to Hashem, a special concession that he made to us, where he's moichel on his own kovet. That's why he brings a fascinating, Raya mentioned that a little bit later, interesting halacha from the Chovos and Levovos that he mentions in reference to these two brachas, but these two sections of the Shmon Esrei. We spoke about the Gemara and brachas that fill us from the Dvorim Sha'omdim Berumo Sha'olam. And I explained a few weeks ago the pshat in that is that through tefillah we influence v'yochol the actions of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the world. The Eibishter so set up the world, and we call from the chinuch. The Eibishter so designed the world that the whole shefa of bracha and goodness that descends on earth to man has to come from the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. Comes from tefillahs of people. So therefore, tefillah omdim berumo sha'olam, because they reach to the kisei hakovet itself, from where the whole shefa of bracha comes down to the world. And that's why tefillah can even change the mazel of a person, because the tefillahs reach up to melech malchei hamalchim himself, who obviously is the supreme koach of all koiches in the veld. we also pointed out that as a result, the whole ruchnius and gashmius of a person in Olam Hazeh depends upon tefillah. So the question is therefore an obvious one. I touched upon it Shabbos a couple weeks ago. The question is an obvious one. Why are people mezalzel in tefillah? Why are we mezalzel in tefillah? So I want to suggest the following analysis. Four reasons I want to suggest. The first reason, people are mezalzel and tefillah because they don't realize, this is the easiest one, they don't realize that tefillah is from the Dvorim Sha'omdim, the Rumo Sha'omdim. Intellectually, they just don't know about it. They don't know that tefillah is Chayisha, that our whole Olam has it, depends upon tefillah. They don't realize it. The second chesaron is a much more difficult one to overcome. Even when we have the intellectual awareness, we don't feel it. There's a very, you know, you take a ruler and measure the distance from the cup to the heart, maybe it's 18 inches, 16 inches, 18 inches, maybe 19 inches. But the difference from the cup to the heart sometimes can be more distant than the circumference of the earth. There's a lot of people know a lot of things, but it has no influence on how they feel, no influence on their behavior. They're not marvish romei this hakora. I heard, coincidentally, at one of the maspidim at the hesped for Rav Zemel, what a terrible tragedy, Nebuch, of his daughter was nifter, a young woman. So one of the people at the hesped made a fascinating insight into a Gemara in Yuma, a Gemara that I've known for a long time, and therefore I appreciate the insight so very much, but it's something that I never thought of. The Gemara says here that why was the man Mavon? Why was the man white? Why does the Torah tell us the man was white? First of all, why was it white and not a different color? Secondly, who cares what color the man was? If the Torah tells us it was Mavon, it's telling us for a reason. What in the world is the reason that it should be white, and why should the Torah tell us that it's white? So the Chazal tell us, Mavon shel malvin avonoseim shel Yisrael. The man was white because it whitened the avarice of Klal Yisrael in the Midrash. It helped them do tshuva. That's why it was Mavon. A reminder every day when they went to pick up the man, it was to remind them of a lesson they're supposed to learn from the man that's going to help them do tshuva. But Rashi says, what's the lesson? Shemalavni Navono say him, Mito Shohoyo Dohogin, Shemolo Yered Mon Lamocher. They would be afraid, maybe tomorrow the mon won't fall. I won't have anything to eat for me, my wife, my children. Hoyo Nishabdi Mlibom Lamocher. Therefore, they became subservient to the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They were so afraid that if they don't behave properly, and they don't do tshuva for averus, and they don't commit themselves to another day of avodas Hashem, the Eibishter knows what, maybe we won't get breakfast tomorrow, there'll be no lunch, there'll be no supper. So it's an amazing thing, the insight that this Rav pointed out was an amazing insight. You're talking here about the Yidin who are in the Midbar. Who are we talking about here? You and me. We're talking about Yidin in the Midbar. They live with a constant awareness. They saw the Shinnah. They lived in the Anonei HaKovit. They saw the Amud HaOnon by day. They saw the Amud HaEsh b'Laila. They went in the Midbar, and the valleys were leveled, and the mountains were leveled. They saw this in constantly. They had the Be'er Shomiria. All this wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. It shows us what a tremendous job it is for us to feel in our hearts the presence of Hashem and our dependence upon Him. They certainly intellectually appreciated that they're living with the Shina. They hadn't been told such a thing. They realized it. They saw it. And with seeing it, it wasn't enough. They had to experience every day a portion of mon where not a drop would be left over. So that when they went to sleep at night, they would have to be afraid. What if it won't come tomorrow? I have to be worthy that it should come. What if this won't happen tomorrow? It's an amazing insight. You see from here how difficult it is for us to feel, not just to understand and comprehend, for us to feel emotionally how dependent we are upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even that we hear that we're dependent upon Hashem, and we hear what Philip accomplishes, but to go from the intellectual perception to a depth, to enter the depths of our hearts, is a tremendous avodah. It's not easy to do. And that's another reason why we're mezalzel b'tefillah, because we don't feel it. Even when we know it, we still don't feel it. Thirdly, and fourthly, has to do with two nidos that are very deep, deeply rooted in the personality of an individual. And the first is the nido of atzmus, of laziness. The Mesilas Yeshorim says, Teva ha'odom koved me'od. A man's nature is to be lazy. And if a person wants to develop the midav zrizus, he says that he has to be mizgaber, yizgaber atzmo negativo. He has to mamish change his nature around. The nature of a man is tamid yomom. Will you please? I want to rest. Bodies at rest tend to remain at rest. As that we don't want to be, we don't want to push, we don't want to be pushed, we don't want to be shoved, we want to take it easy. We don't want to run, we want to walk, we don't want to walk, we want to stroll. If we're sitting, we don't want to get up, and if we're lying in bed, we don't want to get out of bed. That the nature of man is fading, is to be lazy. And a person has to recognize to be mizgaber on laziness is a tremendous battle against the Yetzirah. It cannot be done with kid gloves. And it cannot be done with one hand tied behind our back. But if this isn't enough, the battle of physical laziness, in terms of getting to minyanim on time, etc., if this isn't hard enough, there's another dimension to the need of laziness that's infinitely harder to overcome than the physical laziness, and that's the intellectual laziness. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, we touched on this a couple weeks ago, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Iyun Tfilah is one of three averas that every person is nichshulin every day. To have proper concentration in davening, it's an enormous task, an enormous job for a person to be able to concentrate on what he says. Every word in Shmona Esrei, I speak about Shmona Esrei because that's the Iker Tfilah, but it applies to all the Tfilahs. From Birkas HaShachar through Sukkei Dizmira and Kriya Shema and its brachas. Every word is like a battle, understand? The Yetzer Hara fights for every word that comes out of our mouth that it should be without kavanah. And tear that word away from us that it shouldn't go heavenward. That we should say the Shem Hashem Levatoma without proper... Every word, when a person starts to daven, we have to realize that we may have won the battle over physical laziness, but now starts a mechoma against intellectual laziness. A person starts to daven, he also davens lazily, without his reasons, without a gewaltic effort. And it requires an enormous intellectual discipline to concentrate on davening. And as soon as the mind begins to wander, to stop the lips from moving, it requires an iron discipline. It's a lifetime's avodah, but we have to recognize what the job is. That's another reason why we're mezalzel and tefillin. The fourth reason has to do with the very essence of tefillin. And this is more subconscious than conscious. But I believe it's a very real reason also. The fact that it's subconscious makes it harder to work at, but doesn't make it any less real. The Maral explains, why is tefillah called avodah? Why is tefillah called avodah? Every mitzvah that we do is part of our avodah Hashem. Korbanos is avodah, and tefillah is avodah. Avodah shebaleiv. Why is tefillah called avodah? The same reason korbanos are called avodah. Because tefillah is a mitzvah by which a person recognizes his total dependence upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as a result, he recognizes the reason that he should give himself over to Hashem completely. If all we are, the Mishnah says, of Ezra Ishtar Tosa, ten lo nishalo, shatov v'shem achos shalo, a man who recognizes that all I am and all I have is only because of Hashem, that I and all I have belong to Hashem, and I have to be moistened myself to my belong, I'm his. I'm not doing him a favor if I commit myself to be his Eved. Tfilah is the mitzvah which brings home to us the fact that we are avoding to Hashem and we be doing the avoda of an Eved to an Ogel. The same thing when a man brought a korban I mentioned before. He brings the korban on the mizbeach is to impress upon him, I am giving myself over to Hashem completely. With my goof, with my neshama, with my seichel, just like this animal, that should be me. I'm on the mizbeach. But the neighbor should take the animal instead of me. But that is what tefillah is supposed to be as well. That's why tefillah is called avoda, because it's the avoda of an eved. The eved is being oved his odom. The eved is being moistened himself completely to Hashem, because he recognizes that he's totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But every person, the Mesilas Yeshorim says, Atzlus is natural to a person. Gaiva is certainly natural to a person. Nobody wants to give up his self-rule. We want to be masters of our own destiny. It's not easy for a person to recognize that without Hashem, we are one big round zero. Nothing. Zero. It's a hard pill to swallow. And also, something that even if we come to a point intellectually where we recognize it, but a person should begin to feel that way, and a person should live his life that way. And we're talking about people who reach Gevaltig Madregas and Avodas Hashem. That is our avoidant. This is not kid stuff. This is the avoda of a yid. Avram Avinu said, Anochi offer the Eifer. Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nachnu mor. David HaMelech said, Ani tolas v'lo ish. David HaMelech, Ani tolas. He was a little worm on the ground in reference to the relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I made a Baruch Hashem, I had a very interesting insight, maybe in the schus that I was preparing to speak for the tzibur tonight. But it occurred to me this evening that the mitzvah of tefillah itself is the best refuah for each of these four reasons. Why were the zalzel in tefillah? The davening itself, how does a person get out of the trap of being mezalzel in tefillah? These four reasons are so difficult to overcome. So I wanted to suggest that the mitzvah of tefillah itself helps us to overcome the Yetzer Hara of davening. The Yetzer Hara that tries to get us mightily to be mezalzel in davening, to be misrashel in the avoda, like it did in the time of the Chashmonoim, the Yetzer Hara that tries to get us to destroy, to eat away at our tefillah like a cancer, that Yetzer Hara can best be defeated by the mitzvah of tefillah. Aside from Torah, that's a general tavlin for all Yetzer Haras. But for this special Yetzer Hara, to be mezalzel and davening, the best refuah is to daven. The best refuah is to daven. Why? By davening, first of all, the middle, we'll talk about the Shmon Esrei again. The brachas, the middle brachas of the Shmon Esrei constantly remind us how we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. That's why we're mispanel to him for life and for health and for seichel, for everything that we need, for parnassah and for shalom. The brachas themselves help us. The brachas of the Shmon Esrei help us to recognize that we're talking to Hashem to help make him more real to us. Reb Chaim says a big chiddush, that if a person davens, and while he's davening he forgets that he's talking to Hashem, it's mesaseh, and he's not even yotzei davening. Baruch Hashem, the Chazon Ish creaks with him. The Chazon Ish says no, that the fact that a man is standing up and davening, that action itself testifies that it's not a total mesaseh, even though he's thinking about something else. But the whole mitzvah of davening is a mitzvah where a man is supposed to be aware constantly he's talking to Hashem, every word that he said. That's called davening. That's why we have mentioned, we say Baruch Atah, we refer to Hashem in the second person. That's called davening. So when a man davens, it helps the intellectual and the emotional awareness
of the fact that that the Hashgacha of Hashem is real to us, that it's meaningful, that we are totally dependent upon the Borei Olam to whom we are now talking. He's right in front of us, and we're praying to him for our life. The Mesilas Yeshorim says at the end of Perek Ches, I don't want to quote it now, but it's a beautiful sentence or two, you should look at it. The Mesilas Yeshorim says at the end of Perek Ches, how does a man develop the need of Jesus? How can a person overcome the natural tendency to be an atzman? You know what he says? If a person recognizes the chasodim of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and if a person recognizes that we can only get what we need in this world from Hashem, then you want to jump to do his ratzon. You want to run and to rush. You can't be a Zoriz enough. Through an awareness of the chasodim of Hashem, through an awareness of how dependent we are upon Hashem, that's how a person can overcome the midos reason. It won't happen by itself. And that's exactly what happens in davening. In the middle brachas of the Shmon Esrei and in the bracha of Hodah in the Shmon Esrei, that's exactly what happens. We're constantly reminding ourselves of the chasodim that we need desperately and that we can only get them from him, and therefore we only thank him for these blessings. That helps the person overcome action. And similarly, the act of davening helps overcome gaiva. Because the whole avoda of davening is the avoda of an eved, the avoda of an eved to his adam. The Gemara says in Brachas Named Damet Omer Amar, Rabbi Chanina says, the first three brachas in the Shemon Esrei of Sheba, that's an eved who's praising his master. The middle brachas is the eved who's asking for a handout. The last brachas is an eved who's thanking his owner. Avdus, the whole tefillah, is the avoda of an eved, like the maral that we mentioned before. So if a person davens with kavanah, every time we daven, we are reinforcing the mitzvah of avdus. We're constantly reminding ourselves how humble we should be. Now, mitoso shodover, to be honest with ourselves, how we should constantly work to be more and more humble to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and to give ourselves more and more over to his voice. So the mitzvah tefillah is the biggest weapon against the Yetzer Hara that seeks us to be mezalzel b'dvorim shabomim berumo shaoyim. The Gemara says in Brachas, with this I am concluding, the Gemara says in Brachas, damit dvorim tzrichim kizu. There's four things we kizu. Rashi says, b'chol yom u'b'chol koko. One of those four things is tefillah. Our avoda during Chanukah, the ikar avoda in Chanukah. Part of the avoda is to be mesameach with our friends and with our rabbeim and to have a good time. And the ikar avoda is an avoda l'hodos u'mahamba. To be mechazek ourselves in tefillah. The avoda shebonei, for which the ownership Antiochus came upon Klal Yisrael, for which B'nai Yisrael were Moisher Nefesh, and because of which the Chazal were Mesachim these days, Mahalel U'Mahodos.